Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
It's been said that an effective leader knows the way, shows the way, and goes the way. However, as we've been exploring over the last few weeks, there are certainly spanners that can fall into the works of effective leadership. We've been looking at the pitfalls that can actually be associated with it and how we can avoid them with our series on overcoming the dark side of leadership. Gary McIntosh is the co-author of the book by the same name, and he's joined us for this series. Gary, good to have you on Open House again.
Good to be with you.
Codependency, it's something that it's a phrase that we hear so often, and yet I wonder how many of us actually really understand what it is. What is codependency, and what does the codependent leader do?
Well, codependency is really the inability to separate ourselves from others. We get our own personhood so wrapped up in other people's personhood that we can't separate the two. It's often found in people who have a family background of alcoholism, drugs, abuse, violence. For instance, sometimes we would ask a question, why would a lady who's being beaten by her husband, why doesn't she just leave her husband? Well, it's sometimes because she feels that her husband needs her. Therefore, she's not able to separate her own safety and security, her own personhood, apart from that of her husband. And so she stays there, even though it's a negative situation for her to stay there. Becomes a codependent situation when we sometimes cover up unacceptable behavior of other people. So, for instance, we may be in a Christian family, but maybe we have a loved one who is an alcoholic, and so what we do is we cover up for them, and we basically lie to show to other people that our family is a good family. And you think that it's a good thing because you're protecting the other person from embarrassment, that sort of thing, and yet you find yourself in a situation where you're lying to protect them.
And it doesn't actually help the person involved either, does it?
No, it doesn't help the other person either. So what we often see with Christian people is the desire to please other people. And we often find this in pastors and churches. Pastors are essentially people pleasers. They don't want to disappoint people. They want to make people happy. And therefore, sometimes pastors find it very difficult to confront people who are creating problems in their church. And so because they don't confront these people, they actually become a person who's protecting their inappropriate behavior, and it just causes it to be even worse.
And so if they're trying to make everybody happy, they're going to be probably saying yes to a lot of things, aren't they? They're going to be taking a lot of tasks on, probably becoming overextended in many ways.
They are. Essentially, they tell people what people want to hear. So if someone stops you in the hallway and asks you if you can do a particular job, even if you can't do it, you'll say yes, because you know that the people want to hear that. You'll see this actually in politicians a lot of times too. You know, we will say about politicians that they'll say one thing to one group of people, and then with another group of people they'll say something almost exactly the opposite, but they're saying what the other group of people want to hear.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, a politician could be very codependent.
So Gary, the codependent leader, the codependent pastor maybe, they're not going to last very long. If they're saying yes to everybody, if they're avoiding confrontation, if they're trying to make everybody happy, they're going to melt down at some stage. Where does all of this lead to?
Well, essentially, with a pastor, what's going to happen is, over a period of time, the people are going to realize that the pastor says yes to everything but never does anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so people begin to have less and less trust in the pastor because they really can't believe what the pastor says. And so you're right, over a long period of time, the pastor's probably going to move on to a different church because they just simply cannot continue to have that kind of relationship in the church that they're in. Pastors will tend also to react rather than act. So rather than do any long-range planning, they'll just react to problems as they come along. And that gets tiring after a while because you're just always responding, putting out fires as the fires are started, but never thinking long-term, how can we build a plan that will keep these problems from occurring in the future.
Mm. And Gary, is it common for codependent people to actually become leaders in the first place?
It is. Very often. because what they are is they're overachievers. They don't want to disappoint other people, and so the way they keep from disappointing people is that they become high achievers. You know, for instance, if you had a situation with a family where a child was codependent with the parents, the child would probably be really trying to get high marks in school, trying to get a great job. So sometimes they end up in leadership positions because they are such high achievers. But really what they're doing is they're trying to compensate for maybe a parent that they're embarrassed about, or maybe they're trying to block out some pain that they've had as a child. And so the way they block out that pain is by overachieving themselves, and that puts them many times into a leadership position.
This is Open House. We're continuing our series on overcoming the dark side of leadership with Gary McIntosh, podcast through theopenhouse.net.au. Gary, if you were to bring it down to one word or maybe a phrase, as you did for, say, the last couple of weeks when we were talking about the narcissistic leader and the paranoid leader, you said that the core need that they have there, or the core problem, the base problem, is a sense of insecurity, a lack of confidence. What is it for the codependent leader?
I think for the codependent leader, it's the fact that they're very frustrated that they can't identify their own personal identity. So they're not able to separate themselves from a father, a mother, or a brother, or someone else. They become so enmeshed personality-wise that they really can't be who they are independently. And so they become somewhat repressed. They're frustrated in their own identity. They worry a lot about, you know, what other people think about them. They take responsibility for other people's problems rather than for their own problems. And so really, in some ways, they're living a life that is beneficial to another person, but really isn't beneficial to them.
You know the next question. How can a leader who's struggling with a codependent skew in their lives actually be able to find their identity, to actually define it and be able to separate from others?
The first thing, they have to recognize what's going on. They have to recognize that they are protecting this other person, or covering up for this other person, or overachieving because of something that's happened in their lives. And then once they recognize it, they have to separate themselves from that other person. Now, a lot of times what this means is they actually have to get away from the other person. So if it's a wife who's codependent for her husband, she has to get away from that husband. She has to move out, start living apart from that husband. If it's a child who's codependent for the parent, the child has to get out of the home and get separated actually physically and emotionally from the other person, so that you get into an individual situation where you can begin to see life on your own terms and not just on the terms of being dependent of protecting or covering up for this other person.
And so for the church pastor who's feeling codependent, I guess, to his church, do you think that could go back to another relationship that they need to have a period of separation from, or is it actually that they need to leave the church?
Well, that's a tough one. I usually advise pastors that they need to stay in a church 6 to 7 years as a minimum. But if a pastor actually recognizes that they are codependent, I think what they need to do is they need to learn to confront other people. What I like to say is short-term pain equals long-term gain. Mm-hmm. It's painful to confront people who are causing issues and problems, but if all you're trying to do is please people and you're neglecting confronting people who need to be confronted, it just extenuates the pain. As long as you cover up for these people, as long as you are in denial that they're a problem and you're trying to please them, you'll find that you can't please them, and so it just extenuates out the pain, and someday you have to confront them anyway. So I think pastors a lot of times need to learn that they have to confront people, that you can't please everybody, and I think you can learn that without leaving a particular church. But if you've been there, I would say 10, 12 years, it's probably not going to be easy to solve this problem without leaving.
Right.
Because if you've been in a codependent relationship that long, you're probably going to have to actually leave physically in order to have any chance of breaking the pattern.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the compulsive leader, the narcissistic leader, the paranoid leader, and now the codependent leader. The final, I guess, leadership profile we want to explore next week is the passive-aggressive leader. We'll talk to you in a week's time. Thanks so much, Gary.
Thank you, Sheridan. Good to be with you again.
That's Gary McIntosh. He's president of the Church Growth Network, and he's the co-author of Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership, which is our current series. You can hear the podcast at theopenhouse.net.au.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.